Joe Morgan joins us on Sports Byline USA. No, it's the other Joe Morgan, the one that was the former Major League player, but also the manager of the Boston Red Sox. And, of course, when he was the manager of the team, they went to the playoffs in two of the 3 years that he was the manager of the team. And, of course, a native of the Boston area as well. Take me back to when you were a kid growing up in Boston. You're the first person I've ever talked to, Joe, that actually grew up in a city like Boston and then managed their baseball team.
Well, I grew up in Walpole, which is about 17 miles from Fenway Park and about 25 from Providence. So I knew what was going on most of the time with the Red Sox as far as media and all that stuff when I got older. And I was ready for the action when it came. Let's put it that way.
What was the teams like that you saw as a kid? Tell me about some of the Red Sox teams.
My father used to take us in there maybe two or three times a summer. The first crew that I remembered was Lefty Grove, Jimmy Fox, Joe Cronin, and we used to get a big thrill out of getting there early and seeing them hit the ball over the left field wall all the time. So those were the first guys. Then Ted Williams came along a year or so later, and then Dom DiMaggio and Pesky and all the rest of them that followed.
You know, I was a young sportscaster in Boston, and the one thing I always feared is that I'd go on the air and I would give Carl Yastrzemski's batting average and be off by 1 point and hear from every little old lady up to the state of Maine. There is a particular aura associated with iconic type of franchises like the Yankees, like the Cubs, and also like the Boston Red Sox. Can you help me and others listening to understand what that aura is about the Red Sox?
Well, a lot of it, I think, was because we didn't win a pennant in a World Series. And there was this great desire to have it done, and a lot of things were magnified, and we were lucky to have the Ted Williamses and the Yazes and all the other great players we had. And we had, of course, a great rivalry with the Yankees, who did us in most of the time in the early days. But those are some of the things that I think got the fans really into the game of baseball here in Boston.
And also New England, just as a sports area, whether it be their baseball team or their hockey team or football, it's always been a hotbed for support for their teams. But they've also been kind of critical with high expectations, have they not? Talk to me a little bit about the fans of New England.
Well, I think it all started, especially with the Red Sox, like I said, with the time Babe Ruth left and we never won a World Series. But the Celtics, of course, have had their good runs. And the Patriots had theirs. The Bruins finally won a cup last year. So there's always a ton of interest here. And I think that's the biggest thing that keeps it going. We've been lucky enough to have great teams, and the Patriots were great there too. And we've had superstars in every sport. That's things like Bobby Dorr and Russell and Ted Williams and Brady. And we've been very fortunate that way. But it seems like winners get the good players, though.
You went to school locally at Boston College, and you weren't just a one-sport guy. You were a two-sport guy. Hockey was your other sport. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I would say this. If I were born in Canada, I would have definitely played a long time in the National Hockey League. That's how easy hockey came to me. I'll explain it this way. When I was on the ice, I was in myself, I was the boss. I could do what I wanted to. But in baseball, when I was out in the field, I was just another little guy in a huge desert. You got it?
What position did you play in hockey?
I played center, where all great players play. You were in Worcester for a while, you told me.
Yes, I was.
So what years would that have been?
That would have been back in the 70s, from about 1970 to 72. And I remember being there. Bob Wolf, the late Bob Wolf, was my attorney. And, of course, he represented a lot of great athletes in the New England area. And I just I had never been in New England as a sportscaster, and I was just kind of so in awe of all the things. And I remember the first time I walked into Fenway Park, Joe, and yeah, I looked at the Green Monster, and my mouth just dropped open, and I couldn't move. I just looked at it because I had not seen anything else like that in baseball. When you were a kid and your dad took you to Fenway Park and you saw the ballpark, tell me what your reaction was to it.
Well, my reaction was all this concrete and steel on the way to Fenway Park, and there's more as you go in there. And then when you get out and look at the field, you say, you can't believe there's actually a beautiful baseball field inside this building. That's the way I looked at it.
Is the Green Monster intimidating to players, particularly those that come in and maybe they haven't seen it, haven't played there an awful lot? How do other teams see the Green Monster?
I think they really want to play because they think they're going to hit one off that wall almost every time up. But it has to give them a little juice, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I did one thing that not many people have done. I only batted one time in Fenway Park in my career. I pinched hit for the old Kansas City Athletics with about a third of the town of Walpole looking. I'm a left-handed batter. I hit a triple off the Green Monster. I only know about three other players, left-handed hitters, that ever got a triple off that monster.
You know,
How's that?
That's a good point, because usually when a player knows, the outfielder knows it's going to hit the wall, he backs off, fields it on the bounce, and throws it back in. Did they overplay it? Did they misplay the ball that you were able to get a triple?
Now you're talking. I like you. You could probably be a manager. They had a guy named Gary Geiger, a center fielder, who had bumped into the wall a couple of weeks before. There was no padding there then, and he got shook up a bit, so he shied away from the ball, and it hit the bottom of the fence about a foot up, and it was concrete, and it rolled all the way back to the shortstop, who picked the ball up. I actually got a stand-up triple. How's that for apples?
Let me also ask you about the whole atmosphere during the course of a game. Now, when you were managing the Boston Red Sox, did you find that combination of the Green Monster, the uniqueness of Fenway Park, and just the fervor, the way the fans are during the course of a ball game? Tell me a little bit about that atmosphere and whether it helped the Boston Red Sox game in and game out.
Well, you know, they're very close to the field here. That helps one thing. And the Monster was the Monster by itself. But, you know, I often was thinking about baseball, how guys hit, let's say they hit 340 at home at Fenway Park. Then they go on the road and they hit 260. Good hitters. There's no real reason for that. I can see them hitting maybe 280 on the road, but 260, you find a ton of guys that do this. And that's what happens in Fenway. The fans get behind them and really push them. And then when they get on the road, there's not enough players that can motivate themselves to do the same thing. That's the way I see that.
Interesting. I mentioned that you were a player. You played for the Braves. You played for the old Kansas City Athletics, Cleveland Indians, Philadelphia Phillies, and the St. Louis Cardinals. Talk to me a little bit, if you will, about your baseball career. You said you were a little guy. What position did you play?
I was about 5'9". I was a shortstop mostly, but I played outfield and third base a little bit. In the big leagues, I never played regular. I was a pinch hitter and that kind of, that wasn't my deal. Then I'd go back to AAA. Someone else would take a chance on me, and the same thing would happen all over again. But I would say this. I was a damn good AAA player. I was lucky enough to play for five teams in the big show.
How was the game played back in the major leagues back when you were playing? What type of baseball was it when you think about how the game is played today, Joe?
Well, the DH kind of goofs it up. I don't like the DH. It takes a little bit away from the strategy and all the other stuff. And, of course, it makes the games go on probably another half an hour longer. That's one of the things. And there's a lot more night ball today, AstroTurf, no scheduled doubleheaders. There's a gang of things like that has changed the game a little bit.
What about the stadiums in which the games are played in today compared to the old stadiums that you played in?
I say this. The new stadiums, to me, seem like they're all the same. one of the things that going on the road that I liked, you got in a new, different stadium every week, and it had its quirks and this and that in it. They weren't all just a big round circle, as I call them. That's one of the things. I hit probably as good on the road as I did at home.
Joe Morgan has joined us on Sports Byline USA, manager, former manager of the Boston Red Sox, of course, also played in the major leagues as well. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about his tenure as the manager of the Boston Red Sox. He took his team to the ALCS on two different occasions. We do that as we continue across the country and around the world on Sports Byline.